ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. Former FBI agent Alex Smirnov, who's accused of lying to the feds about President Biden and his son, will stay in jail until his trial.
Smirnov, who his attorneys tried really hard today to get him released, saying he has worked for the U.S. government for many years as an informant for the Department of Defense and the FBI, never been convicted of a crime, that he's never been accused of lying before.
ABC's
the prosecutors said, yeah, but look at these lies. And even in September, peddling Hunter Biden lies to see who would gobble them up.
ABC's Alex Stone. President Biden and former President Trump will take separate trips to the Texas border on Thursday. Students and supporters walked out of Owosso High School in Oklahoma today. They were protesting the Board of Ed's response to the death of a non-binary student after a fight on campus with classmates. Survivors, first responders, and lower Manhattan residents gathered at the 9/11 Memorial Museum to mark 31 years since a 93 World Trade Center bombing. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The nation is paying attention to Wisconsin's new political maps. Former President Barack Obama tweets that Wisconsin made history by replacing one of the most gerrymandered maps in the country. Wisconsin Republicans say they plan to win over voters by taking better policy positions than Democrats. A new report finds a shortage of mental health professionals in the U.S. Stanford psychiatrist Benjamin Miller says the lack of enough professionals means more patients are at risk for relapse or readmission.
If there's no clinicians out there to do the work and we keep referring people into a system and there's just not enough people there to treat them, like, we got to solve that problem too.
The report was released by the mental health advocacy group Inseparable. I'm Terry Bell. Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Cloquet schools are working on a new way to stop students from using vapes or e-cigarettes at school. The school board approved funding to install vape detectors in the bathrooms at the high school, middle school, and alternative school. The detectors would alert school officials when vaping could be happening in a bathroom so they can review footage from the hallway and see who it could be. Currently, officials have taken to setting up desks near the bathrooms to work and watch for signs of the vaping themselves. True North Goodwill has unveiled its new location in Ashland. According to a Northern News Now report, the nonprofit held a grand opening event on Friday to share their new 6,700-square-foot space with the community. In addition to Goodwill's typical focus on clothing donations, the new facility also has a career navigation center where people can get help in the job hunting process, perfect their resume, and get helpful interviewing tips. The organization hopes to create more opportunities for people who need them.
And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Brewers lose to the Rockies. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After winning their opener, the Brewers lost 10-3 in Arizona to the Colorado Rockies. More games today and tomorrow, and then on Wednesday, the Brewers will face the Chicago Cubs and their new manager, Craig Counsell. NBA, the Bucks with a 119-98 win over the 76ers. Before the game, the fans in Philly booing Doc Rivers, where he last coached before taking on the job in Milwaukee. Marquette with a win at home, 88-64 against Xavier. Cam Jones led the Golden Eagles with 34 points, and talked about how loud their fans got during the game.
Basically, the crowd is a reflection of us at home and even on the road. So, you know, the crowd is going to follow our energy, and the coach does a great job of, like, you know, it's about us on the court and doing what we need to do, and then the crowd will follow, and we are the best crowd that I've ever heard.
Head coach Shaka Smart.
Really happy for Cam to get 34 points on his birthday. I thought overall, really good defensive effort by our guys.
That's Marquette's Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and warm tonight, low in the mid-30s. A slight shower chance for Tuesday, high by midday near 50, with falling temps in the afternoon and breezy. Snow showers tomorrow night with wind gusts to 40 miles an hour. Sunny and much colder Wednesday, high only mid-20s. It's 60 right now.
The Todd Allbush Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Monday on Nightlight, I'm joined by Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison and comedian actor Chip Chinnery. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back, Devil's Advocates Radio Show, live in Michigan. Michigan Pure, a happier, happy hour. Tom, welcome to it.
Hey, Crudy, always a pleasure to have a happy hour with you in my home state of Michigan. Primary tomorrow, so the Devils are here today.
We've been here since last night, partying, hanging out, mostly at this Rochester Corner Bar. Seems like a cool place. The happier, happy hour. It has commenced, and you can always be a part, 844-967-2789. Dom, I found an interesting headline. I'd like to lead the hour here. The Trump, you know, the former president, told the E. Jean Carroll judge,
yeah,
he's too rich to have to pay a bond.
Well, then he should just pay the bill and be done then, right?
Former President
what
Trump
does that
is
even mean?
Arguing that his position of wealth means he shouldn't be required to post bond. In the E. Jean Carroll defamation case, and Judge Lewis Kaplan is asking Carroll's attorneys to respond to the claim. I mean, wouldn't they just laugh in his face? Wouldn't that be a suitable response, or must you put it in writing?
Well, you got to get billing hours, man, you know, the attorneys.
Mr. Trump has moved for an administrative stay of enforcement pending the filing and deposition of any post-trial motions that he may file. He seeks that relief without posting any security, wrote Kaplan in an order signed over the weekend. The court declines to grant any stay, much less an unsecured stay, without first having afforded plaintiff a meaningful opportunity to be heard. Now, Kaplan, well, of course, what's the plaintiff going to say? Hell no. Why would I want that?
If you got money, give me the money now. Be done with it.
Kaplan set February 29th, I believe that's Thursday, Dom, is the deadline for Carroll's attorneys to weigh in. And March 2nd is the deadline for Trump to reply to that. Now, posting bond is pretty standard in civil judgment cases in which the defendant seeks to appeal the decision, which Trump is planning to do. But according to Above the Law, that seems quite appropriate in this case. Above the law, Trump is arguing to the court that he's so rich that a bond doesn't really constitute a deterrent to his noncompliance, and therefore he shouldn't have to provide one at all.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm just going to break it anyways. Having argued to the jury that President Trump has great financial resources, plaintiff is in no position to contradict herself now and contend that she requires the protection of a bond during the brief period while post-trial motions are pending. The fact nullifies risk to the judgment creditor and weighs heavily in the favor of an unsecured stay. Meaning if we're seeking damages...
To the degree that we are because you're so wealthy and rich and that's the only way you're going to keep your mouth shut, then because you are so wealthy and rich, you should not have to pay the bond?
Well, Dom, Trump's argument stands in contrast to the fact that by his own estimation, he only has about $400 million in liquid assets. I wish I did, but I don't think he does. Only has about $400 million in liquid assets, which is less than he owes combined from the Carroll case, in which he got an $83.3 million damage, what, verdict against, and the New York civil fraud trial that hit him with $355 million. So the E. Jean Carroll case centered on the former president's claim that Carroll fabricated allegations he raped her in a Manhattan department store.
So he's trying to get... So here's the point, though.
I'm so
rich. There's two issues here. There's two issues. One, of course, is the absurdity of the filing. But the number two is the delay. Now, you know, Kaplan's folks got until the 29th, until Thursday to respond. Trump has till, you know, next Monday to respond. So what I don't know is, that, and I'm not sure on this, does this even dent the actual time frame, the 30 days that he's got to come up with the money? I don't think it does. So they can do what they want.
He's seeking a stay of any bond. He doesn't want to have to pay any money. I'm so rich, what to turn is... A 10% down surety bond because I'm so rich, right? That's seemingly what his legal pleas are. And you should just pardon the interruption because I'm so rich. Well, why would we trust the veracity of that statement when he legally just lost for defaming a woman? I mean, seems like he might have a little credibility issue.
Well, that on
at least
that,
before this court.
And on top of the hundreds of million dollars in fines from being a fraud, a lifelong fraud. But everybody does it, you know.
Well, if you're going to hold that against
him.
He's
just doing it. He's doing it for you, folks. 844-967-2789. Let's get to some callers. It's the Happy Hour Devils on the Road in Rochester, Michigan. Cindy from Appleton, you're up. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got for us?
Hey, Cindy.
Well, this... business of Trump being so rich. I mean, come on. First of all, really rich people don't go around boasting about how rich they are, number one. And number two...
Well, I'm so rich, I never have cash, so you've got to pay the bill, please.
Yeah, so, but the point is, if he's got so much money, why doesn't he just pay it and just call it a write-off or something? I mean, this man has no money. That's the problem. He doesn't want to pay anything because then he won't have anything to live on. I hope he ends up either, number one, in prison or number two, homeless on the street. Because that would be poetic justice.
I'm not sure what street he would end up homeless on. I suspect one in Leningrad or...
North Korea?
Maybe.
Thank you for the call, Cindy. Appreciate it. You know, that's the other thing. Of course, one thing is to delay as much as can. The other thing, of course, is to hide the fact that he might be, you know, a little oversecured, let's call it. 844-967-2789.
Leverage. You think he's got some leverage?
Leverage. Hey, Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, guys. And these guys, none of these guys seem to have any respect for the law. Let's face it. That I saw an image of Steve Bannon high-fiving people down at the CPAC convention. And he's out on bond, appealing his sentence to go to jail. I mean, and that just seems ridiculous to me that his ass isn't in a 4x8 cell and wondering what's going to happen to his fate and having to hold on to his bar of soap and wonder if he's going to lose his mattress. I mean, it is scary, these people, that you go to these events and they forget the founders and what they stood for, and that a quote I just saw today, Don will appreciate this, but it does mean no injury for my neighbor to say there are 20 gods or no god, neither picks my pocket nor breaks my leg.
Yeah, right.
It's just ridiculous. We are these guys with this, Christian nationalist stuff, because it scares me. It should scare.
Well, the CPAC, Mark, it is. And thank you for the call, man. The CPAC had Nazis. NBC was reporting, and of course, CPAC pushing out that there's legitimate hangout, real deal Nazis at CPAC.
Nazis mingle openly at CPAC, spreading anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. and finding allies.
Well, see, it's a networking opportunity.
Ben Gogan, NBC News reporting, Nazis appeared to find a friendly reception at the, pardon me, Conservative Political Action Conference this year. Throughout the conference, racist extremists, some of whom had secured official CPAC badges, openly mingled with conference attendees and espoused anti-Semitic conspiracy
theories. I mean, come
theories.
On. It's CPAC. What do you think? No big deal. Everybody does it.
The presence of these individuals has been a persistent issue at CPAC. Is it an issue? In previous years, Dom, conference organizers have ejected well-known Nazis and white supremacists, such as Nick Fuentes. That's the guy that dined with Trump, right, down at Mar-a-Lago?
Yes, I believe so.
But this year, racist conspiracist theorist didn't meet any perceptible resistance at the conference, where Donald Trump has been the keynote speaker since 2017. 7 years running, Dom.
So it's getting worse every single year.
At the Young Republican Mixer Friday evening, a group of Nazis who openly identified as National Socialist mingled with the mainstream conservative personalities, including some from Turning Point USA, and discussed race science and anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. Do you think they were espousing the white replacement theory of the Tucker Dom?
I mean, it seems to be very popular on their side.
One member of the group, Greg Conte, who attended the deadly 2017 Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, said that his group showed up to talk to the media. He said that the group was prepared to be ejected if CPAC organizers were tipped off, but that never happened.
Yay, it's a Nazi party.
Another, Ryan Sanchez, who was previously part of the Nazi Rise Above movement, took photos and videos of himself at the conference with an official badge and touted associations with Fuentes. In a photo published on his Twitter profile, Sanchez shook hands with Jared Taylor inside CPAC's secured conference arena, writing, "Jared Taylor is a hero of our people." Our people. You know, I'm sure mighty fine people on
both sides?
Taylor
All sides.
Founded the American Renaissance, an organization that has published racist pro-eugenics writings. The Southern Poverty Law Center describes Taylor as crudely white supremacist. Crudely white supremacist.
CPAC, not very happy about this, Curdy. They tweeted out about 8 hours ago. Here's what CPAC's response was. NBC wrote a hit piece on CPAC yesterday in yet another blatant attempt by the propagandists in the media to discredit conservatives for the very thing that the left is actually doing. In reality, CPAC stands firmly against all forms of anti-Semitism and hate, while Democrats openly cheer on Hamas terrorists attacking and killing innocent Jewish populations in Israel. Well, that did not go unnoticed by the author of this piece, Ben Gogan. He also tweeted out, CPAC is continuing to call our reporting about Nazis at the conference, quote-unquote, fake news. They haven't responded to the video and photo evidence. And they have puts a video out here. We've retweeted this on Devil Radio. Ryan Sanchez, a known and public neo-Nazi, giving a Nazi salute at CPAC. And Greg Conte, also a public Nazi, in the same video.
As Daily Beast describes it in their headline, NBC News shows receipts after CPAC denies Nazis mingled at the conference.
I mean, the guy's literally doing the Sieg Heil Nazi salute.
I hate
CPAC
Nazis. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates, Pure Michigan Monday edition, a happier happy hour. Roll through it with us.
How hard can that be, saying that Nazis are bad?
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. Biomarker testing was a turning point for me. By working with my oncologist, we were able to determine the most appropriate treatment plan. My fear was I wasn't going to be here to see my children grow up. That gave me hope, knowing that I have that chance. And I did. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
The big and tall of political talk, the Devil's Advocates.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you join the political party, even when we're on the road at 844-967-2789.
Dom, it's a shocker they'd let racists, Nazis in the CPAC. I mean,
it's weird,
that party
huh?
is so disassociated with its whitey-righty roots.
Yes.
And nearly as shocking, this headline I find over at Reuters, Supreme Court's Thomas, that's the Clarence Thomas,
yes,
hires clerk accused of racist conduct. Wow. So the... Let's just see how this yeah, goes.
How does
for
that
him.
Play out, pretty?
U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas has hired a law clerk who was accused of racist conduct while she worked at the conservative nonprofit organization. And I think we mentioned the. We'll come back to that as well. While she worked at a conservative nonprofit organization that included sending a text message that stated, "I hate blacks." That's a quote just for the record, folks. The hiring of Crystal Clanton by Clarence Thomas, a black member of the court's 6-3 conservative majority, was disclosed last week by George Mason University's Anton Scalia Law School, Clanton's alma mater. Nothing but the best. Clanton previously was hired as a law clerk by two federal judges, prompting complaints by Democratic lawmakers that led to a misconduct investigation, eventually dismissed into the jurist. Clanton also previously worked for Thomas's wife, Jenny.
Jenny? Ross,
a conservative activist. And once,
is that what she is? A conservative activist?
And once lived with the Thomases. Miss I Hate the Blacks lived with the black Supreme Court justice. But, you know, probably from her point of view, he was the good one.
She was closer with Jenny.
Dom, after graduating from the prestigious, what was it, Samuel Alito Law School and, Scalia Law School in 2022, Clanton worked as a clerk for U.S. District Judge Corey Mays in Birmingham, Alabama. She then clerked for U.S. Circuit Judge William Pryor of Atlanta-based 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. Both were Republican appointees. Pryor, in a statement provided by the Virginia-based law school, called Clanton an outstanding law clerk. Just, you know, not so much to the blacks. Clanton said the Supreme Court's press office did not immediately respond to requests for comment. The controversy over Clanton's hiring stemmed from her time as the national field director for the, and here's the student group, Dom, Turning Point USA.
Oh, come on.
Very same ones that were hanging out at CPAC with the Nazis, right? In a New York Magazine story in 2017 examining the group, journalist James Mayer reported that Clanton had sent a text message to a colleague stating, all caps, Dom, I hate black people. I hate blacks. End of story.
And she lived with Clarence Thomas and his wife, Jenny.
Yes.
Huh. And what did she have any recollection of these very racist comments?
Well, Don, that's interesting. Clanton told the New Yorker in 2017 that she had no recollection of the messages and that they do not reflect what I believe or who I am. And after resigning from Turning Point, Clanton was hired by Jenny Thomas to assist in media ventures. Justice Thomas had said Clanton lived in their home for nearly a year.
What?
After reports emerged that Pryor planned to hire Clanton as a clerk, Democratic lawmakers on the U.S. House of Representatives Judiciary Committee, including Reps Gerald Nadler and Hank Johnson in 21, asked the federal judiciary to investigate Mays and Pryor. They said that Clanton's hiring by two judges threatened to seriously undermine the public faith in the federal judiciary. What do you think about Thomas's hire then? Same person, right, that undermines the faith in the federal judiciary is now working as a clerk for a U.S. Supreme Court justice. You know, the black one, Dom. the New York-based Second U.S. Circuit Judicial Council, which considered the case due to conflicts in the 11th Circuit, later declined to change an earlier 2022 decision dismissing the misconduct complaint, bringing an end to the matter. Justice Thomas, in a letter reported by the Atlantic Journal Constitution in 22, defended Clanton and said he had recommended that Pryor hire bigotry is antithetical to her nature and character, Thomas wrote. At least, you know, the nature she showed me when she lived in my house for a year.
Right, almost a year? Is this isn't normal, right? Or is this normal?
Dom, you've thrown the futon on the floor just so people don't stay longer than an evening at your house. I know how you are.
That's why I don't own a pickup truck. 844-967-2789. Devil's Advocates on the road. Let's get some of the politics going. Nate, you're going to need your help on this one. I believe we have Drew from Lake Mills. I got you, Drew. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates. Drew, what do you got for us?
Hey, Drew.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Awesome.
Pretty good. It's the happier happy hour now.
Hey, I think about this often when I see these Nazis on TV, and depending on what age they are, maybe they're my age, I'm mid-40s, maybe a little younger, maybe a little older, right? So either like their fathers, their mothers, or their grandparents, aunts, uncles, were out there trying to kill Nazis. And now here these jokers are walking around doing all this stuff, and I just think that's such a disrespectful, like, to your family legacy, that somebody went to fight an actual war, go overseas and try to kill these people to stop us from coming here, and now they're parading around doing whatever. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, Drew, it certainly says something about humanity, and, you know, the anti-fascist versus Antifa, right? You always say this. I mentioned this. My grandparents, right, are the greatest generation. Well, they're all Antifa, right? Anti-fascist. Well, now you get these Republicans, and I'm not suggesting that all Republicans are Nazis, but all these Nazis certainly seem to hang out with the Republicans. You know what I mean? You don't see a lot of them at the Bernie Sanders rally. But it is absolutely disrespectful. It's more than that. I mean, it's an affront. I mean, we have generations, millions of people died to stop the spread of fascism. And now they're, let's call it privilege. This is great. I mean, but what I don't think they get is if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And you know, if you how many people that supported Stalin over the years in communist Russia, in Soviet Russia, just disappeared. They got disappeared. I mean, literally went away. And then this is back before the high tech. We're wiped clean from the photos of whoever the person was Stalin. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. And, of course, that still goes on these days. A lot of these authoritarian types that Donald Trump had great affinity for, are murderers. They're murderers. They kill their political opponents. Look what happened with Putin and Navalny. Was that last week? I mean, Navalny in Russia.
Yes.
Murdered by Putin.
I can confirm that was last week.
It seems like a long time ago. This mentality.
He died of sudden death syndrome.
Don't we all? To play into those hands. And the other another thing, to your point, not only did their grandparents go and fight these, but this mentality, in my opinion, certainly is taught. You know, no one's born with this kind of hatred. That thing, it's learned from others. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789. It's really easy to say Nazis are bad. Say it with us. Call us on the lines. Again, 844-96-PARTY. We'll be right back.
Everybody, it's Todd Allball. Noon to 3 on Tuesday, we'll preview the Michigan primary and also cereal for dinner. We'll explain.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
A second person's been arrested in a hit-and-run crash that badly injured a Minnesota woman in southwest Wisconsin. Police in Westby say Robert Purvis is charged with first-degree reckless endangerment. Police say he was riding in the UTV that hit and injured the woman earlier this month. Mitchell McKittrick was arrested soon after the crash. The FBI says Americans lost $350 million to real estate fraud in 2022. Faith Kimbrough is a local official in Indiana. She recommends homeowners sign up for a free service to be notified about suspicious activity.
We cannot prevent it from happening. We will alert you to let you know that's happened, and then you can call us and you can, you know, verify it.
All it takes for a scam artist to start the process is a fake driver's license or a stolen Social Security number. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Rice Lake teenager involved in a Barron County crash that killed two teenage girls has been sentenced. 18-year-old Troy Hune Jr. was sentenced to 8 years of probation on two counts of homicide by negligent operation of a vehicle. Hune's car reportedly crashed and rolled over in October of 2022, killing a 14-year-old and a 15-year-old and injuring another 14-year-old. He was accused of operating under the influence of a controlled substance. He reportedly went over a bump near railroad tracks at about 70 miles per hour. The Little Red Barn Dog Rescue is looking for community support to pay off some medical bills and potentially expand their building. According to a WQOW report, the organization says they need to make some upgrades to their building to make sure their volunteers have running water and on-site bathrooms. The Dog Rescue is hosting a charity dinner on Saturday and hope the community can step up to improve the organization for their volunteers and dogs. More information can be found on the rescue's Facebook page. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Wonka is headed for streaming on Max. The film, which stars Timothée Chalamet, tells the story of Wonka as a young man as he built his candy empire. The musical made over $600 million globally at the box office. It was directed by Paul King, who also directed Paddington 1 and 2. Wonka will be available to stream on Max on March 8th. For those of you looking to put on weight, help is on the way. Kentucky Fried Chicken is premiering the Chizza. That's right. You finally get the great taste of a slice of pizza smashed onto a piece of fried chicken. The totally pointless, unholy union that never needed to happen is real. Chizza was first introduced in the Philippines in 2015. If you're worried it won't take years off your life fast enough, you can also order fries and a drink and make it a combo. The Chizza is available February 26th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and warm tonight, low in the mid-30s. A slight shower chance for Tuesday, high by midday near 50, with falling temps in the afternoon and breezy. Snow showers tomorrow night with wind gusts to 40 miles an hour. Sunny and much colder Wednesday, high only mid-20s. Right now it's 58.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From the heart of the St. Croix Valley,
we're in touch with you.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, live on the road again, a pure Michigan Monday edition, a happier happy hour, rolling through it for the love of democracy tour 2024, another stop Rochester. the Rochester Corner Bar. The drinks have started flowing. We've got Cousin Joe at the table. We are ready for it, Dom. And, you know, it's interesting to me that the CPAC attendees of these Nazis, Dom, you know, why don't they just embrace these Republicans? Why don't they just embrace their racist
side? Just drop the facade of how terrible and awful this is. Like, CPAC pushed back against the NBC article, and then they gave them the receipts, and here's a video of
it. Yeah, here are the Nazis at the CPAC. Well, Donald Trump, he gave a speech to a black group the other night. I mean, he's trying, right? And according to ABC News reporting, Trump claims black Americans relate to him because now he's been criminally prosecuted. You know, like all black Americans have, Dom. What's happening to me happens to them.
Oh, we have sound of this. I guess on this topic, we'll jump around a little bit, Nate. Let's start with Trump on, what was this, Friday night?
Former President Trump was speaking to President Joe Biden's worst nightmare while courting black conservatives at the Black Conservative Federation Gala in Columbia, South Carolina. Hundreds of proud black conservative American patriots. That apparently is Joe Biden's worst nightmare. Black conservatives, Dom.
Well, let's hear how, you know, Trump actually said it versus your terrible imitation of it. Nate, if you would, let's jump down to cut number two. Black people on his side, Trump on Friday.
Black people are so much on my side now because they see what's happening to me happens to them. Does that make sense?
Not really.
So I'm not really clear. I'm assuming he's thinking is he acknowledging the fact that perhaps African Americans face a different standard of justice perhaps than white Americans? Like, you know, if the Nazis were in charge, like, how would that be? Is that what he's saying? Is he acknowledging it? Is by his assumption
structural racism exists
and
he's acknowledging it?
That's the only way,
but only directed towards him.
Well, why should we interpret? Let's hear what the man had to say. Why black people like him? Cut number three.
He got indicted a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time, and a lot of people said that's why the black people like me, because they have been hurt so badly and discriminated against. And they actually viewed me as I'm being discriminated against. It's been pretty amazing.
Is Donald Trump the first black president?
He might be.
I mean, come on. What? Oh, okay.
Now, understand, this is a self-selecting audience of black conservatives. Just remember, that's probably a relatively small group, Dom.
Of course, as the president has often said, as we reiterate here, he does this for you. Cut number four.
I'm being indicted for you, the American people. I'm being indicted for you, the black population. I am being indicted for a lot of different groups by sick people. These are sick, sick people.
You're being indicted by a grand jury of your peers who viewed the evidence and thought there's enough to bring you to trial. That's why you're being indicted.
You know what else he's very proud of and told the people there? The mugshot, Dom. He's very proud of his mugshot. And you know who else? Apparently, according to Trump, black people very proud of his mugshot. Cut five.
The mugshot,
played for the people.
The and you know who embraced it more than anybody else? The black population. It's incredible. You see black people walking around with my mugshot.
I'm not clear. I mean, maybe, you know, the Blacks for Trump guy that follows around all the time. We see him at the Trump events.
Isn't he the co-defendant in the Fulton County, Georgia trial?
I don't know.
Blacks for Trump guy.
And it gets even better. The final cut, at least from Friday, Donald Trump. Cut number six, please, Nate.
These lights are so bright in my eyes that I can't see too many people out there. But I can only see the black ones. I can't see any white ones, you see? That's how far I've come. That's how far I've come.
So, I mean, again, to dive into that a little bit, how far he's come, like, am I to assume that
well,
when he was a younger man?
Well, he's flipping the racial stereotype
right,
on his head.
Right, right. So
because He can see the black people in the darkened crowd.
Right. Versus back when he was a younger man, he would say, what, I only see the white people in the crowd with these lights. Because he's come such a long way. That's how far he's come. He's overcome his racism, Crudy.
Well, according to Kevin McGarry, who talked to ABC News at the event, that's real. We get picked on all the time unnecessarily, and he understands what that feels like now. So there's a connection. Now, McGarry is a black Republican from San Francisco.
Right.
He voted for Trump in 2020 and 16. I appreciate the track record that he has with the black community. He said everything he did was on point for communities of color. So I appreciate that.
When people say in generalities, like everything they did, oh, it was so great. I mean, do you remember? I mean, gas was under $2. That was great. Well, yeah, we had a worldwide recession going on. You know what I mean?
Well, voters like Carquita Lindsay from Raleigh, North Carolina, don't like the way he compares his legal troubles to black Americans. However, she tells ABC News that his words on race are not a deal breaker. I'm not saying that everything that Donald Trump says that I'm for it, but I'm not for 100% of what any politician says. I am pro-life and the border needs to be secured. So those are things that affect me, not the words.
They're just words.
They're just words.
Don't believe a word he says. Just, you know, assume the best and judge him by his actions. You know, it's just it's hard. And Nikki Haley, of course, pushed back on these particular statements, essentially saying, of course, Trump is unelectable in a general election. And, you know, this is all we're going to get more and more of this kind of. These comments, this behavior, this attitude, this mentality from Donald Trump. Of course we are. That's what Trump is. And it's going to continue on. Nikki Haley's absolutely right about that. The question is, do enough people care to change the trajectory of what the mega GOP is running itself into?
I'm not sure that they do. 844-967-2789. Demma got a slight pivot here. Do we want to take one caller?
That's your call, man. I'm putting it on you.
He's been banned for a long time. Welcome back to the airwaves. Going to need your help here. CJ. What happened to CJ?
I don't know. He just disappeared on us.
He's gone. Must be heading back down to CPAC.
It wasn't me, man. You saw me hit the button.
I did. I know you tried to bring CJ on board.
844-967-2789. I mean, serendipity. Maybe Nate did it.
So... you know, Trump is going to trial, and ironically, it is another black prosecutor that will seek his conviction, Alvin Bragg.
Yes, Manhattan DA.
Alvin Bragg has urged the judge to hit Trump with yet another gag order. Because do you think it's feasible that Trump could, you know, maybe target the prosecutor?
What?
Do you understand in a recent court filing in Georgia, they put Fani Willis's contact information in the filing, and now she's being barraged with threats? Well, you know, maybe Alvin Bragg, for the safety of his family and the credibility of his, you know, investigation and soon prosecution, thinks that Trump should not be able to say inflammatory stuff during the trial. So,
yeah, but could they put their personal information in a court filing and dox them all?
They could try. Pointing to his long history of making public and inflammatory remarks about his legal cases, New York prosecutors in Donald Trump's hush money criminal case asked today for a gag order to be imposed on the former president. Oh, if only they could. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg has requested that Trump be barred from making statements about potential witnesses, prospective jurors, and prosecutors related to this case. This being reported by the AP. The judge overseeing the case, Juan Manuel Merchan, has not yet issued a ruling on the request, but as the AP points out, Trump was already issued a gag order in his D.C. election interference case back in October, an order that has largely been upheld. I thought he was still out there trash talking. Anyways, though it minimized the speech restrictions, a federal appeals panel did, saying Trump was allowed to criticize the special counsel who brought the case, you know, First Amendment rights and all, And he was also subject to a gag order controlling what he said about Judge Arthur Enderon's staff in his New York fraud case. The order was put in place, after repeated attacks on Enderon's court clerk and was upheld upon appeal. So, Dom, he's charged with 34 counts in the Bragg case involving hush money allegedly paid to Stormy Daniels in an attempt to keep the affair the two had quiet. And did you see what else they tried to accomplish today, the Trump legal team? They want to squelch the testimony of Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels. the fixer and the victim.
The payee.
They don't want any testimony from those people being exposed during the trial.
I don't know that they'll get that wish.
I'm not clear that they will be able to bar the actual prosecution's witnesses.
From presenting their cases, you know.
I would really like them to be excluded if you could just do me this solid, though.
844-967-2789. Devils on the road taking you with us. Hoosier Bob. Welcome, Hoosier Bob. What do you got for us?
Hey, man, we were in Indiana just yesterday.
Driving as fast as we could.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
I just called to tell Nate, basically, that I don't know who did it. It could have been, the creature that Dom doesn't believe in, or whomever, but CJ got dropped on his first time back. That's astounding, man. I am so proud of whoever pulled that one off.
I think he self face planted, Bob. I think he hung up on himself.
That could be karma. I don't know.
We don't know. We're not judging here.
No. Never judge. Never judge. Just be thankful for the gifts that are given.
Oh, thank you, Hoosier Bob. We're thankful for you, man. 844-967-2789. We're going to run a little bit short on time for this segment, but stick around. We'll continue to take your calls at 844-967-2789. Crudy, the headline I saw that I want to at least touch on before we get to our callers. Apparently, Fulton County hacked?
Oh, you mean the evidence in the Trump trial that Russian hackers are apparently threatening to exposed to the world unless they're paid a hefty ransom? If it were not for the prior history, Donald Trump literally going on the stump and asking Russia to hack Hillary's emails.
And then they did.
And they did on that very same day, started hacking Hillary's emails. Could it be feasible that Donald Trump has perhaps, had some of his Putin allies do a little hack?
Well,
in
at this point, you don't even really need to ask. You do the little sting. Wipe on the nose, and everyone gets what you're talking about. Here from the Raw story, Russian-based ransomware gang says it will publish pilfered Fulton County data, which includes documents tied to former President Trump's court case, unless it is paid a ransom, according to a report from the Register. Lockbit's threat, that's the organization Lockbit, threat could also involve a total leak of Fulton County data that would put various cases and sources at risk. A quote from Lockbit, their warning, the stolen data will be published on the blog. There's no chance of destroying the stolen data without payment. We will demonstrate how local structures negligently handled information protection. The original warning read, we will reveal lists of individuals responsible for the confidentiality. Documents marked as confidential will be made publicly available. We will show documents related to access to the state's citizens' personal data. We aim to give maximum publicity to the situation. The documents will be of interest to many conscientious residents. Will bring order. They will bring order? Sounds like a threat. We are the Devil's Advocates. Apparently, Fulton County hacked. We'll be right back. 844-96-PARTY.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all. But not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said,
I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life. And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. We appreciate you sticking around. Make sure you stick around for Busted Pencils. They come up next at 6 o'clock Central. But we'll take your calls right now, 844-967-2789.
Now, the gag order in the New York trial that has been sought by
Alvin Bragg,
right? MSNBC legal analyst Joyce Vance responded to Bragg's request via the Twitter, writing, "One of the most stunning aspects of the protective order the Manhattan DA seeks in his protection or prosecution of Donald Trump, more accurately, is that although Trump is entitled to know the identity of jurors, the DA has asked to keep their addresses secret, like you would in an organized crime case."
Right.
Just Securities' Adam Clansfield notes Bragg's memo swings somewhat more broadly than previously requested gag orders in the ex-president's other cases, from the New York civil trial fraud trial to the D.C. election interference case to the Fulton County, Georgia racketeering case, in that, and here's the quote, "it seeks to bar Trump from making or directing others to make public statements about known or reasonably foreseeable witnesses, counsel in the case other than the district attorney, members of the court staff and the district attorney staff, the family members of any counsel or staff member under certain circumstances, and the jurors." Like, you know, Trump will go after anybody.
Of course.
Family, friends, neighbors, your family pets.
Well, that's, I mean, it's not just Trump. I mean, Trump's not making the harassing phone calls. Trump's not doxing the individuals. Trump's not ordering pizzas at the house. Trump isn't ordering SWAT teams to show up. Those are all of Trump's fans. Those are his supporters.
I'm less clear that Trump isn't playing a part in this. I had seen reporting. Fannie Willis slammed with harassing calls after Trump's lawyer puts her contact into the court filing.
So Alvin Bragg has a point.
Well, they did effectively dox Fannie Willis. They did, you know, make her personal contact information known. Here's what's being reported at this hour. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis and Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade were slammed with harassing phone calls over the weekend after one of the former President Donald Trump's attorneys put their contact information in a public court filing, according to a new report. Willis and Wade, according to CNN's Zachary Cohen, were ultimately forced to change their phone numbers. They received an onslaught of harassing phone calls over the weekend after their personal contact information was cited in legal paperwork from Trump's defense lawyer in the George case. He added that they both changed their home numbers because of an explosion of calls in recent days. The wave of calls came after an unredacted version of the motion, including exhibits, was shared with counsel on both sides. The attorney, Steve Sadow, says he made a mistake in sharing unredacted phone records with the reporter. And when I realized the error, I immediately contacted him and told him explicitly not to disclose to anyone else and not to publish the cell phone numbers or any other protected information. However, Cohen reports that the cell phone records with personal identifying information still appeared on social media per the DA's response to the motion filed with Trump's team on Friday. Oh, that's too bad. You know, yeah. I just put it out there.
Oops.
And then
I asked them not to publish it.
I asked them not to publish it, but they did, and now the prosecutor is being threatened frequently at home with information I put out in the public record.
Oops.
Oops.
Oops. So Alvin Bragg is right to file that motion. Unless you want harassing mega Trumpster phone calls.
There's a damn good reason to protect those involved with the case because, again, as we mentioned, Trump acts like an organized crime guy, like a mob leader. And, you know, if he puts the threat against you, he's got a lot of minions out there in the world willing to act upon those threats, direct or implied.
844-967-2789. Are you calling it?
I'm calling it. Time of death. 6:55 p.m. Eastern time. CJ, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. The ban is dead, sir.
Hello, CJ.
Really? The ban is dead? Oh, that's awesome. Thank
well,
you.
Don't push your luck.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
See how tonight goes.
Nice and easy, CJ.
Well, you know, you guys, again, I wish you'd cover the news. Like, now we got students dying from illegal aliens. And you
we got people dying
that.
Of all kinds of stuff. In fact, the thing you'd like to lay at Biden's hands that some illegal alien on a Georgia campus targeted some poor young woman and now she's dead, and somehow that's the president of the United States' fault. But my understanding is he came while Trump was the president. So is that Trump's fault then? By that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon logic you're using, sir?
He was caught and released and by the Biden administration. Thank you very much. And, yeah, this is only one of 10 million illegals. More are going to die from fentanyl and everything else. Now it's all of a sudden time with 8 months left to go. Joe wants to maybe do an executive order. What a shock. Maybe he should have left the one that was in place because it wasn't more than 30,000 a day. It was like 30,000 a month underneath President Trump. So now
well, that sounds pretty porous, CJ. And as far as I remember, we had fentanyl coming in during President Trump's efforts, administration
not
as well.
What the numbers are today, guys.
Yeah, so I'm not clear what you're telling me. Are you telling me based on, if I may, CJ, if the numbers are higher today, does that mean the Biden administration is more effective in actually catching the fentanyl than Joe, than Trump? So define what you're telling me, because we wouldn't know how much is coming over unless we're actually getting it and catching it. So what is your point, CJ?
Just look at a chart, Dom. You can deflect again if you want.
I'm not but I'm asking for your reasoning here. You're saying that we have more fentanyl coming in now than under Trump?
Yeah, they're catching more because there's 10 times or 100 times more coming in. So congratulations. This is Joe Biden's policy.
So 10 or 100 times is a pretty big statistical difference there, CJ. I mean, I get your point, but you haven't really explained your position.
Joe Biden made an announcement this afternoon. This good news, I perceive. Joe Biden has said he believes a new ceasefire between Israel and Hamas could take effect by the start of next week. My national security advisor tells me that we're close. We're not done yet. My hope is by next Monday we'll have a ceasefire. Well, that would be on Biden's watch. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to Rochester's Corner Bar. All the fine people that spoke to us today will bring you another fine show. Pure Michigan. Except the Tuesday edition. That'll be tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
KreipsCast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Biden saying that he hopes to have a ceasefire in Gaza by next Monday.